On today's episode, Liz and I have a classy conversation with Dan Purcell about sexual intimacy and the importance of keeping our relationship close and connected. Dan shares some great tips to help couples navigate this important topic and offers some excellent resources for you to learn more. Dan and his wife, Emily Purcell, are the founders of Get Your Marriage On. Their marriage went through a bit of a renaissance a few years ago and wanted to share what they learned with other couples. They created a fun and sexy bedroom game app called Intimately Us that has been downloaded over 300,000 times. They also put on events and retreats for couples. Dan is the host of the Get Your Marriage On podcast. He also coaches others on marriage and intimacy. Dan and Emily have been married for over 19 years and have 6 kids. Dan loves cracking dad jokes, running marathons, planning the next creative date night with his sweetheart, and enjoys the magnificent outdoors around their St. George home. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey there, friends. The doctors are in the house. I'm Dr. Dave here at Utah State, alongside my co-host, Dr. Liz Hale, our clinical psychologist. Hey, we are bringing you the best research and resources, the tips and the tools to help you have the marriage of your dreams. All right. Today, Liz, super excited to bring on a good friend of ours. He's a life coach. He and his wife created an amazing popular app called Intimately Us that we'll discuss here shortly. And he's the host of a wildly successful podcast called Get Your Marriage On. Welcome to the show, Dan Purcell.
Hey, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, we're happy to have you on. Mm-hmm. So, Dan, I got to start out with this. We've known each other for several years now, and I was looking back, and you actually invited me to be one of your keynote speakers for your, this is BC, right before COVID, back in November of 2019, if you remember, in St. George. It was at your Get Your Marriage On conference. And more recently, you invited me to be a guest on your podcast, which was awesome. Shared some things about relationship connection. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And I appreciate you returning the favor and joining us today. And you have done and continue to do some amazing things, my friend. So, but before we dive in, we have all kinds of questions for you. And I think we're looking forward to this amazing discussion. You have some great resources, but you also have a great and an interesting story about how you and Emily got into the relationship and strengthening space. So will you share with us and then kind of an overall purpose of what you do, but share with us your story.
Sure. I'm probably the least likely person I ever thought would be in the strengthening relationship space.
And why is that?
Specifically, with Get Your Marriage On, we strengthen relationships, but we specifically highlight sexual intimacy. And I'm a straight arrow. I'm a straight-laced guy, never the kind of person I would have ever expected being a guest on your podcast talking about sexual intimacy in marriage. So we both come from, my wife and I both come from really good families. And with a good conservative culture, but typical with those types of families, sex was not talked about much. If it was talked about like in, you know, biological reproduction or the thou shalt not talk, but never like in like how to build a great sexual intimacy. It's how to build great sexual relationship side of the conversation. And so, we get married and we're both pretty nervous about things. I remember on our honeymoon, I had really no idea what to expect and neither did my wife, and things didn't happen with my body the way I thought they would go.
Yeah.
Cause all the love songs talk about making love all night long. I'm like, wait, how is this supposed to happen? Maybe there's something wrong with my body or something. And I remember being really shy about it. And, but I wanted answers. And at the time we're university students. So I look on the university library search system and I found a textbook on human sexuality. And I was so nervous. I go to that section of the library and I'm like shifting my eyes to the right and left, making sure no one sees that I'm in that section of the library. I find the book, take it off the shelf, tuck it under my arm. And I don't make eye contact with the lady, you know, scanning the book at checkout. And I go back to my apartment. So I've been married maybe like 2 weeks at this point. And I'm flipping through because I got all these questions. But I hear my heart is beating. Like, I'm so nervous to like have this material in my hand. Like, is this okay? Is this even fine? And I come across an illustration, like a drawn illustration of a man and a woman having sex. And I thought, oh no, this is pornography. I'm not supposed to even looking at this. So I shut the book and I returned it the next day. And I figured, like, this is a dangerous landmine, like minefield. This is not something like right for me. So in many ways, I had all these questions about sex, but it felt like it wasn't appropriate to talk about it because no one else really talked about it. It was taboo. And even in our own marriage, we had a hard time talking about it. It was never modeled for us, I guess. So we both were really anxious about it until 13 years later. I'm talking with a friend, and this friend is awesome. He opened up to me about his sex life. He started telling me about the things he and his wife were doing. And I had, I guess you could call it morbid curiosity, because I'm like, oh no, don't tell me. Wait, tell me more. Oh, yeah. Tell me more. And he's telling me about the things they're doing. They found bedroom games. Like, really? There's such a thing as bedroom games? Yes, there are bedroom games. And he told me websites he and his wife go to get ideas of things to do in bed. I'm like, really? That's allowed? You can do that? And it just... Now, my friend wasn't saying this to brag. He was really sincere because he was telling me, like, Dan, when my wife and I have worked on our sexual relationship, the bond between us has grown so much stronger. We feel closer together. We communicate better. We parent together better. Like, all these benefits come from having a stronger sexual relationship. And so he had something I didn't have. But my world was turned upside down because I thought you were – I didn't even Google my sex questions. I'm not even – I thought – because I was afraid what would come up. I didn't know there was, like, you know, the possibility of healthy sources for sexual information. That just never crossed my mind. So I went home that night to my wife and, like, hey, you never guess what kind of conversation I had with so-and-so. And but I was really self-conscious in that conversation. I wanted to know what she thought about our sexual relationship and maybe looking at more resources and if maybe there's more for us than we ever realized. And it was probably the most vulnerable conversation about sex we've had in our marriage to that point. We're up to like 2 a.m. talking. And then the next day, we both concluded we needed more information. So we figured a good Christian authored resources on sex would be a good place to start. So we searched online and found a few really good books that were really helpful. So we started there. And I remember the first book arrived in the mail. We opened it. That night, started reading like first few chapters. My wife's tired. She fell asleep. And I stayed up all night and I finished the whole book. I think I finished at 4 a.m. I binge read an entire book. But it was so cool. And for the first time in my life, I kind of felt like there's a lot of goodness in a good sex life. There's a lot of, it's like, it's beautiful. It's sanctioned. There's joy to be had. There's so much like goodness on the other side. And it's like ever visiting Disneyland your whole life and then realizing the pass you bought is a park hopper pass. It lets you into Disneyland and then, you know, the parks next door. Like, wait, there's more to explore? Yeah. This is incredible. And so it kind of just flung open a new world for us in our marriage. And then, like my friend described, we just started feeling those benefits in our own marriage. Our bond became closer. Like, we started communicating better. We're parenting together better. All of a sudden, the sky was bluer and the grass was greener. Like, everything else in life just started really improving once we started improving our sexual relationship, too. So there's a lot of good to be had. And I wanted to share that message with everyone.
That is a really powerful message, Dan and Emily. I give you such credit for that. You know, what struck me when I first read about you and was looking at Intimately Us is that typically it's the other way around. Typically we talk about emotional intimacy, right? Being better at co-parents or outside the bedroom, and then the bedroom will take care of itself. And you're saying just the opposite, right? That when you took care of things sexually, the rest of life was just so much better.
That's true. And I think it's kind of chicken and egg too. They're related. So I don't think my wife and I could have had a good sexual relationship if things weren't great outside the bedroom. Like, generally, we still dated each other. You know, we tried to get out once a week, even with little kids. It was really hard, but we, fought to the nail find baby search. We made it a priority. We were good friends. Like, we had other things going on too that kind of gave us a fertile bed, pun intended, for these seeds to grow.
Right. So, oh, I love that clarification. You had a lot of good things going for you already.
Yeah.
And no wonder your conversation about something so difficult, then you could stay up late and continue to have it day after day. And here you are, encouraging other couples. Well, Dan and Dave and our audience, we're all well aware that sexual intimacy continues to be the top of the list of many couples' struggles in their marriages. Dan, why do you think that is? You've alluded to that a little bit.
So that being said, I'm not without our struggles too, that we've had to overcome and work through. And as we have had to grow and mature through these things, I think a lot of couples struggle with sexual intimacy in part because, they may not have had healthy models. They could also struggle in part because sex is so personal and so vulnerable and it speaks to the core of who we are. I think in many ways, there's a lot of parallels with our sexuality and our spirituality. It's just something very personal to us, and opening that up and allowing someone else in and sharing that with another person that matters to you is hard. In fact, I remember skiing on a ski slope and just, you know, just a complete stranger on the chairlift with me. And, hey, what do you do? Oh, I do this podcast on sex or whatever. And he can open up about his sex life and, I don't know, the affairs he's having and whatever. And, you know, goodbye. And you go ski off to... You never see each other again, right? But then I bet that man cannot have that same conversation with, you know, someone that matters a lot to him.
Yeah.
The more someone matters to you, it feels like more is at stake. So there's more risk in really opening up. And I think that kind of makes talking about sex or even working on a sexual relationship more difficult.
We'll be right back after this brief message. And we're back. Well, let's dive right in.
Yeah, Dan, this is such a, and it's an important topic, but man, it's a vulnerable topic as we talked about. And I think that that's one of the reasons why couples will struggle with this and open it up, because it takes so much risk, as you talk about, and they don't want to get burned or feel like they're being made fun of, or where's the line in you know, church and spirituality? How much can I say and talk about that? And I think that there's hundreds, probably even thousands of podcast episodes that tackle this topic. But the thing I appreciate with your topic, the way that you handle it, it's such in a classy way, whereas there's so much out there that's just, I don't know, it's just tasteless, it's crass, it's crude. But I'm just grateful for your approach to sexual topics in the way that you do it. And I just think it's somewhat rare, honestly, to find someone who approaches the subject so well. And I think you've discovered a massive audience, really, who's looking for helpful research-based information presented in a classy but fun way. So tell us about your approach.
There's the approach, like I call it the Cosmo magazine approach, which is like 50 ways to have mind-blowing orgasms tonight. Like very... I'm not saying technique doesn't matter. It does. But if that's all you focus on with your sexual relationship, you're missing out on something greater. I think, and that's in part why you'll never hear a Cosmo magazine about how to really, you know, be intimate with your spouse and telling people to really like be humble and do away with your pride and really like dig into the best part of yourself. You know, that those elements are not best-selling concepts, because they require a person to really work on themselves and really confront themselves in their and really take on themselves, even their ugly parts of themselves, which people don't like to hear. So I think in part, to have a great sexual relationship, you need to have a lot of courage. You need to have a lot of willingness to be intimate. And I don't mean physically intimate, like in that sense. I mean like relational closeness. And that requires a lot of growing up. It requires a lot of couples are really enmeshed with each other. And meaning emotionally enmeshed to me means like, well, I can't say what I really want to say because I'm afraid it'll hurt their feelings, and I don't want to hurt their feelings. So you kind of contort yourself emotionally to, like a gymnast, to kind of fit and kind of play along with a certain view that you want your spouse to have of yourself, rather than being really honest with yourself and honest with your spouse at the risk of possibly hurting their feelings sometimes. But it's a more honest approach, and living with integrity is not always easy. I think all of these pieces kind of come together, and that's the message I'm trying to teach, is a great sexual relationship isn't just about sex, although that's a big part of it, or about technique, although that's a part of it. There's so much more depth that you need to really dig into in order to have a great relationship. And I think once people understand that and internalize that, everything else, like I don't know, the Las Vegas billboard approach to sex, it just seems really superficial. There's not a lot of depth and substance to it. It might be appealing. There might be a lot of pizzazz to it, but something that lasts a long time in a long-term relationship will not just be made of fancy, flashy stuff. It's going to have a lot of depth, and it's going to require you to really grow and push your development and growth forward, I think.
Beautiful. Speaking of billboards, you know, we're all told, men and women alike, how we should look, right? What makes a beautiful body? I think that really seems to make it difficult for a lot of couples to show up, right? We want to cover up. To be exposed is really so vulnerable. We're never more vulnerable, are we?
Yes, that's right. And if you're not undressed physically, to do it well, you need to undress emotionally, right? Take off your mask and really be you. And be free with the person you're with. That takes a lot of courage.
Why does it ever? You've learned a lot of things from your deep dive into this field. Do you have some go-to tips, Dan, you can recommend to our couples listening who want to have a stronger sexual and intimate connection?
Yes, I have four. And time permitting, we'll go through them if we can.
We'll make time.
Right. Sounds good. My first tip is to slow it down. I think a lot of couples rush through sex, and it's like rushing to your destination and you're missing out on all the beauty that you're passing by. A lot of the beauty in sex, I think, is enjoying the journey as much as it is the destination. I think a lot of couples are destination focused, or maybe orgasm focused, thinking, now orgasms are great, and I think they're wonderful, and there's, I think, an element of bonding creation in the orgasm, but there's so much more to be had and seen and experienced. So my first tip, if you want to really make sex great, is to focus on slowing it down. Let's see. Yep. And related to that is think more like an artist than a scientist. A lot of couples think, okay, our script is this, then we start this way, then we rub each other that way, and so on, and we finish this way. It's kind of formulaic. But if you can think more like an artist, like as an expression, like, okay, I have this whole palette of things available to me. What do I want now in the moment? What is speaking to me? And kind of be in the moment and go with the flow. I think couples can experience great sexual experiences, and no two experiences are going to be alike, because you're kind of following kind of your intuition in that moment. My second tip is a lot of couples struggle around initiating sex or around sexual desire differences. One person wants sex a lot more than the other. And that's kind of been my experience in my marriage too. And a few tips that kind of help me with this is I used to think sex as like an on-off switch. It's either happening or it's not. And once I kind of took more of a dimmer switch approach where, you know, there's different levels of sexual intimacy and being happy with whatever level is going to happen, just more of a continuum than it's like an on or off, that kind of helped. There was a time when I wanted sex and we shared this on our podcast, when my wife didn't, wasn't in the mood at that time. And instead of asking, do you want to have sex? And as in, this is a on-off approach, I said, what would be pleasurable for you tonight? It's more of a dimmer switch approach. Hmm. And she thought about it for a moment. It's like, you know what? How about we just cuddle? I would really like to cuddle. Hmm. So we cuddled. And it was great. We just hugged each other and talked. And then desire showed up later for my wife. And then we were able to move into something a little more intimate after that. But when we take an approach of like, oh, how come you don't want sex with me? Like on off switch, like either or thinking, it gets us in trouble.
Yeah.
My third tip is really focus on intimacy. That's the into me see. That's sharing your heart, like the relational closeness, and really learning to like know your spouse and letting them know you. A lot of couples, especially around sex, especially when like one spouse wants it and the other doesn't, they go for tactics to try to control their spouse or try to. It sounds bad, but it really is manipulation tactics. Like, for example, I hear a lot of men trying to hit on their wife by doing the dishes, like, which is, you know, I'm not saying you should not do nice things for your spouse, but when your intent to like, I'm going to do this and this and this, so then she will feel obligated to give me sex. What you're trying to, there's a little bit of a manipulation in it. You're trying to manipulate your spouse by setting up, like stacking the deck so that, and in a way you're trying to buy sex. It's it kind of sounds like prostitution in that way. I know that sounds extreme, but a lot of couples do this, or they'll withhold sex as a way to get something that they want out of the relationship, or they turn sex into meanings other than intimacy. It's about a reward for good behavior. Okay, then we'll have sex. Or it's about, it's all these different meanings. And then, so any meaning outside of intimacy, that sex is about an intimate relationship for us. When you make it about a power struggle or something else other than intimacy, it makes sex less about closeness. So part of that requires you to really choose your spouse. A lot of couples have a hard time fully choosing 100% their spouse for who they are. And kind of stepping into that is a little scary. But when you can really commit to choosing fully, then sex turns into a celebration of their intimate relationship. Mm. And rather than of these other meanings.
Yes. Wow. Mm. It's not about the dishes.
Yeah.
No. It's not in the dishes.
Yeah. It's really powerful.
Right. And my fourth and last tip for you today is try new things. If you plan to be married to the person you're with for a very long time, then you need to keep things fresh. You need to try new things in the bedroom, and you need to push outside your comfort zone. Now, in a marriage, typically, there's going to be one person that's going to be more novelty-oriented, like wants to push the boundaries a little bit, try new things, has a lot of fantasies, and another person's going to be more security-oriented, cares a lot about more like relationship stability, sameness, predictability, and so on. And what I found that couples who really lean in, instead of making that a point of contention, they kind of lean into each other. So the more novelty-oriented one leans towards security, and the more security-oriented one leans more towards novelty. And what that looks like is, in my view, there's breadth and then there's depth. You can learn a lot about a person by just paying attention and noticing them in a new light. And that gives you more depth. So, for example, seeing my wife give a talk in church, for example, which is very difficult for her to do, but she nails it. She gives a great talk. All of a sudden, I'm in love with her all over again because I saw her do something hard, right? That's an example of like adding more depth to our relationship. Then when I'm making love to her, she's a different woman than she was before because I see this new side of her, this like strong side of her that's all attractive to me all over again. So there's you can find novelty in depth, but you can also find novelty in breadth. That's like, you know, new positions and locations, toys and other things. And it's endless what one appeals to one's eroticism. But as you intentionally, you know, push towards let's make our sexual relationship something special for us, then it'll continue to grow and evolve over the years and get stronger.
Hmm. I've got the tips down. Thank you.
Yeah. These are, is it all right if we follow up with a couple of these, Dan? Because I have some
go
questions
ahead.
That I think some helps. And Liz, you may have some thoughts on some of these as well. I love that. I think a lot of couples, especially early on, if there's like high desire and it's like, you know, we're going to have sex tonight or not. They just don't know what to say or how to approach that. So I've heard people say, hey, on a scale, you know, 1 to 10, where are you? But I love your approach. Hey, what feels, you know, pleasurable for you tonight. It's this outward approach instead of this inner, I'm just assuming, I'm planning this, I haven't said anything, but this is the expectation, and I've done the dishes, and I've worked hard, and all these kinds of things, as if it's a reward rather than a connection. And not realizing maybe my wife has had a stressful day, or she didn't get much sleep, with maybe she was with the baby, or something's, you know, else is going on in her mind. And rather than, let's talk about those things, rather than it's just physical, it's just me, it's just this reward. So I love that you pointed that out, instead of the not knowing, are we going to have sex tonight or not? Because I think that is on a lot of people's minds.
Mm-hmm. And if there's anxiety on both sides, a lot of people that are higher desire say, oh, no, I'm not anxious about sex. I'm not anxious at all. It's my spouse that's anxious. That's why she's saying no, or that's why he's saying no. But the reality is the high desire spouse is so anxious about whether it's happening or not that they confuse pursuing with love. They think because I'm the pursuer, I'm being more loving. But the reality is it's about trying to calm their anxiety. That's why they're pursuing all the time. So you learn to calm the heck down. Like, no, it's okay. We're here to connect. It's not about, am I loved? Am I whatever?
What have you thought about scheduling sex for couples that are busy? You know, if we don't schedule it, it's not going to get in like anything else that is important.
Yeah. I think scheduling works if the couple views the scheduling as a way to build anticipation. If you view scheduling as, uh-oh, here it comes, I'm dreading it, then it doesn't help at all. So it really depends on how you think about it, like what you think about schedule. And I think some couples do it wrong. They're scheduling sex, and I think a smarter approach would be, what's the minimum level of physical intimacy I would never say no to? For example, I would never say no to, I don't know, a back rub, or I'll never say no to a makeout session, or I'll never say no to cuddling. That's what you're scheduling. I'm going to schedule something that I would never say no to. That's kind of on a physical, intimate level.
That pleasure again.
Right? Yes. Pleasure. Right. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to lead to sex, but if you can commit to at least that level, then once you're there and enjoying that, then you can see where things go from there. And then you won't dread it because I'm committing to something that I thoroughly enjoy. That's never say no to. This is something I like all the time.
Yeah. Nor would you be disappointed, right? If it doesn't go to pleasure, because we've got the pleasure in. Ah, it's beautiful.
Right, right. And there's one more component to this. And this is something there's some research done on this recently about duty sex. When one spouse feels like they have a duty or an obligation. And this shows up in many ways. Like if I don't give him sex, he's going to go look at porn or he's going to have an affair. That's like an example. Or he's going to be in a bad mood. It's been 3 days. We got to give him sex. And this goes both genders. It's not just wives to husbands, husbands to wives also. But there's this, when you make sex about a duty, then over time, you're not going to find intimacy in that. You're not going to find pleasure in it. So if scheduling sex is about a duty to perform, and you're going to lose desire over time. So watch out for that. Don't make sex a duty. Make it something that you both want to participate in and do. And sometimes it's up to both spouses to have a conversation about sex they enjoy. Sometimes a person will say no to sex because the sex that's being offered to them isn't the kind of sex they want. Like if the sex being offered isn't great sex, then they have, of course, good reason to turn it down because what's being offered isn't desirable. So can you ask for the kind of sex that you actually really do like and want to participate in? So that's another element and a dimension for couples to talk about.
Yeah. Dan, I have your thoughts on this one. This was very insightful for me, and it was a man was shared with me. They're celebrating an anniversary. You know, things were great, and she was super tired, had an extremely stressful day, and she actually fell asleep, and he was really, you know, he was hurt, he was offended. And then he told me, you know, but in the bigger picture, he said, you know, one night out of, let's say, 10,000 or 15,000 nights, he said, I made a decision. I'm not going to let that one, you know, experience ruin all these other opportunities for us. And so one bad experience, one poor experience, or one where it's like, hey, I felt like I thought we were going to have sex tonight. And then all of a sudden she changed her mind or she's in a bad mood or whatever it is. It's like, oh, you know, seeing the bigger picture, it's not always about me. And there's there's tomorrow night and there's the next night and there's 10,000 more nights to be able to celebrate and have that strong, you know, that intimate connection. Thoughts on that?
Wow. That's a great mature response. That's good on that. Good on that man to like really see it for what it is and kind of zoom out of it, kind of put it into perspective. That's a great response.
I bet
that makes him more attractive.
Yeah. In this understanding and fits into this cold shoulder the next day. And he's like, you know what? She was very, very tired. And that's our marriage doesn't depend on an anniversary sex or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, there's all kinds of great information out there and interviewed experts, you've done your own research in this area and you've put it together in fun and creative ways. Tell us a bit about what you offer to couples. I mean, you know, your podcast, your app, your coaching retreats. Tell us a little bit about all the many wonderful resources you offer.
Great. Well, the app is called Intimately Us. My background is in software development. So it was a natural way for me to it was my creative outlet to express and teach and share what I've learned, I guess. And the Intimately Us app is fun because there's several components to it. The first is that there's a daily intimacy challenge. It kind of challenges you to think in relational ways. Like, what are something simple I can do today to strengthen my intimate connection with my spouse? That's the question I want you to be thinking about every day. And the app provides a lot of creative ways for you to, like with various creative prompts, some of them really goofy, but gives you ideas to kind of build that connection every day. Then there's another component that's all about bedroom games and making sex fun. Too many couples take it so seriously. But if you can make sex fun, like even a game. So one of the games, you take turns, like the wife would go first and then the husband or whatever. And as the game progresses, it gets spicier and spicier. And there's a lot of components to that that kind of make it fun. You can adjust it to your comfort level also. We also have things in there like an intimacy calendar, a period tracker, it's a little cheeky, but it shows you a Google map and you can place a pin on all the places in the world where you've done it. And we call it conquests. So go to conquer the world, all the places you've done it.
Yeah.
And it's all secure and private. And there's with this app is another sister app called Just Between Us. And it's an intimate chat app. Unlike all the other messaging apps out there, this one lets you sync with only one other person. And it's password protected and double encrypted. So there's absolutely no way someone else is going to get a message that you send to them. And you can send photos and videos too. So it's a very intimate way for couples to chat together. That's safe. So that's another app that we've developed on those lines.
Oh, that's great.
We do retreats.
Yeah, retreats. Tell us about those.
Yes, those are fun. We've sold out of our current retreat for this year. But those are really in-depth, 3 days, 3 nights, in-depth experiences for spouses to really grow together intimately. And I have a podcast called Get Your Marriage On, where we talk about all these fun and exciting things. And I've recently launched a new program called Next Level. And Next Level, the problem with a lot of traditional coaching or therapy is it's expensive. It's not very accessible because of scheduling and coordinating schedules. I'm thinking like the modern young couple like me with kids on the go all the time. How can I get the marriage help that I need? So we've created this program. It's very affordable and it's a way to get the coaching you need kind of on the go. There's a mobile app. Coaches are coupled anonymously, but they're recorded so you can listen in to other couples being coached on issues similar to yours. Helps you find your own answers. And that's called Next Level.
Good for you. Boy. That is a plethora of resources, Dan. Kudos to both you and Emily. What a difference you're making in our community and beyond. And I love to give out Intimately Us to every couple I work with. So thank you. Keep on. We like to ask all of our guests, of course, this one question. In your mind, what is the key to a stronger marriage connection, Dan?
If you can make your spouse really your number one, I think of all the things we do in life that give us happiness, you know, we have hobbies, we work, we invest our money in things. I don't know, all these things we do to invest our time and resources. I think investing in our relationships brings us the biggest return on happiness. When you can make your spouse a priority really important to you, I think you're going to find a lot more richness and depth and happiness in life.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's great. I love that answer. I love that answer, Dan. Hey, where can listeners go for more information? Website, where can they visit?
Website is getyourmarriageon.com and Instagram is getyourmarriageon.
Okay, great. And tell us one more about the app. They can get the app at any of the app stores,
yes.
Right?
Yep, search for Intimately Us, and it's on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store.
Okay.
And with Valentine's season around the time of this recording, this is an excellent app to get leading up to Valentine's Day and after.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. My couples love it, Dan. They just really do.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, before we wrap up, we'd like to ask all of our guests kind of their takeaway of the day as far as one thing that you want our listeners to take away or remember from our discussion today. What would that be for you?
That would be to lean into more intimacy. That's more authenticity in your relationship, a little more honesty. And every day, just trying a little bit harder to think relationally and think intimately. Like, how can I be my best in this relationship? How can I be my best and true to myself? Answer those two questions in the way you operate every day.
That's good. I love that. Liz, what about you?
Mm-hmm. I have something very similar. What can I do today to make Ben's life or my husband's life more worth living, right? And I also really love that slowing it down. I think that is such beautiful advice, Dan.
Yeah.
And what about you, Dan? What's your takeaway?
Yeah, man, I loved our discussion. I know we could talk, for hours and hours, literally, on this topic. So much important. I remember a professor, and Dan, you mentioned it, and I remember a professor back at Utah Valley University when I went, Davey Chandler, and he said, intimacy means into me, you see. And I'll never forget that. It was very powerful that it's into me. It's an inner instead of the superficial. It's this deeper level. It's this validating level of a part of who I am, and that type of experience you can't share, right? It's more than just the physical, the pleasure about me, but it's about us and that almost that little sacred in a way of that relationship between both of you, and that you grow, right? My wife and I have been married 25 years, and it continues to grow, and we discover, and it feels like in many ways it gets better and better over time because of how well that closeness and that connection that you have with your spouse. So, well, Dan, thanks again so much for joining us today on Stronger Marriage Connection. We sure appreciate you. The insights, the resources that you have shared with us, I think are going to be beneficial and helpful for so many people. So thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
It's been such a pleasure, Dan. And remember, dear friends and family, it's the small things that create a stronger marriage connection. See you next time.
Well, bye-bye now. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend. You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.